I was there sweating it out at 5:30 a.m. I still remember this. And there was a guy that they had, the little radio station had just blown out, this crew. You want to talk about Alex Jones conspiracy theorist nuts? I began with four of them. And I had been volunteering at this little radio station. I was call screening and doing other stuff. They got me to cut a commercial. And they, hey, you got a pretty good radio voice. Maybe you should do this. Oh, no, I can't do this. So after they fired all these guys, you know, one of the radio stations actually sent the Slidell Police Department there to serve them warrants that there were restraining orders he placed on them, and they couldn't come within, like, however many yards of the property. Ron Hunter, Robert Namer, Keith Rush, and trying to remember the other guy's name. And they were escorted out of the building. I showed up about an hour after all of this. I didn't know. You didn't have cell phones back in 1992. All we had were pagers. I did get a page from someone with the 9. Remember, you'd get a page and they'd follow it up with 911 because it was an emergency. I mean, call me right now. Well, I was driving. No cell phones. Well, I mean, they did have them, but I didn't have one. And so I got there, and there was still a cop car there. This was in March. So I got there, and there was still a cop car there. The cop was waiting outside. Who are you? And then the station mangler comes out and goes, no, he's all right. He's all right. He can come in. He's with us. And then I went in, and I was told the news. And I was like, well, there's nothing for me to do here. And that's when this old radio guy who was a Cuban expat, I'll never forget this dude. His name is George Mayral. Spell it like you spell mayor and add an A-L, Mayral. And Mitter Mayral was the one who said, ah, that golden, in his Spanish accent, that golden radio voice. You need to do a show. And I went, what will we call it? what I do a show about? I'm a volunteer call screener. And George said, oh, you just come in and you just talk. It's easy. You'll get the hang of it. Jimmy, he called Jim Summers. He called him Jimmy. Jim Summers hated that. Jimmy will teach you. I said, all right. And Jim Summers go like, really? You really want to do this? I'm like, I don't know, dude. I didn't come here to do this. Summers and I talked about it, and he goes, and Summers goes, I tell you what, you go think about it. And then this was a Wednesday or Thursday. He goes, you think about it, take the weekend, and call me next week, and we'll talk about it. Well, I couldn't wait, so I waited like a day, and I called him, like, I'm in. And over the next couple of weeks, we went in, and I'd bring my CDs in, and because back in those days, I mean, you could play a CD on air, but it wasn't very practical because you only could play one track at a time. This is, and even if you had a carousel player, it would take a matter of minutes to get to the next disc. So almost all radio stations at that time had these things that are called carts, CARTS. And carts came in different lengths, 15-second, 30-second, 1 minute. And then you had the prized possessions of all people that wanted to do any entertaining on radio then, the 4 minute and the 6 minute variety. And then you could run long segments. I think there were 10 minute long carts. So anything longer than 10 minutes, you had to do either cassette, which was, again, impractical, or run it from a reel to reel player. So I went in a couple of times over the next couple of weeks, brought CDs, and Summers would help me record the CD music for bumper music down to carts. And, you know, we sat there and we did a clock out and figured out what how long a segment or would be. And back then, you had to hit your time cues because you had what's called a log. Ms. O'Connell is yelling at me through the Maggie Minute glass, telling me, you're supposed to hit him now. Why don't you just crack your mic, dear, and say, Obviously, you need a correctorson in here. Because we had these things that were called logs. They still have them, but in the era of automation, a log is pretty much useless because the computer is doing everything. But you had to, first of all, I had to get a Class 2 FCC license, which was, the test was on how to flip the switch for the emergency broadcast system. That's all I had to know in the case of emergency. I actually have that card somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I have a Class 2 radio broadcasting operator's license. I never renewed it after the first one, but I do have one. And if you sat down and you were behind the board and you were the board operator, once a month, a board operator would have to go in when the notary public got there, and you'd have to attest. Notary public would show you the logs, because when you were presented with a log, you had to sign it at the bottom with your name and the date, attesting that everything on the log was played on time as it was in order. And anything that didn't play, you'd have to write on the log, and you called it a discrepancy, or discreps as we called it. So you had to hit your cues back then is the point. So we made a clock. And I tried to get a couple of guests, couldn't get anyone. So there we go. I stopped at a newsstand at about 5 a.m., picked up like 6 newspapers, took my razor blade, because back then, again, you weren't printing any stories out on paper. If you were rustling papers, you were rustling a newspaper. Used the highlighters, had a couple different color highlighters for different things that you'd want to highlight. You'd highlight your story in the newspaper. Then I carried razor blades with me. I'd take a razor blade and I'd actually cut the story out of the newspaper. And if it was on multiple pages, I'd have to cut the page out, the second page or the third page out, and then staple them all together. And that's what I did from 5:30 until 7. And I remember listening to this guy, or 6:30 until 7, until 8, this guy Larry, I wish I could remember his last name, but I didn't know him that well, and he didn't last very long. He was an old news guy. I say old. He had done radio news before, and he and I started on the same day, and he did it every day from 6 to 8, and I came in at 8, and I did 8 to 10. And then, you know who followed me? G. Gordon Liddy. I'd go off, Liddy would come on. This Larry guy was smooth because he'd been a radio guy, but in thinking back on that in the early, in the 90s, I remember thinking how just homespun hokey what he did was. It was, and how awful I thought it sounded. Well, on that day, though, because I was terrified and scared to death, he sounded like he was Rush Limbaugh, dude. He was Larry King. And I went in to Le Studio and did hour number one. Or the first story that I did was a local story. It was something about the newly elected crook, Edwin Edwards. How many of you remember this? This happened in 1991. David Duke, the former Grand Wizard of a Klan, had run in a Republican runoff and had narrowly beaten two other Republican candidates and then got into the general runoff with Edwin Edwards, who had already had, I want to say 4 terms. I want to say there was his 5th. He was either 3 or 4. And, I mean, everyone knew that Edwin Edwards was a crook. It was Edwards was the kind of guy that gave Louisiana politics its reputation, which the legislature pretty much put an end to with term limits in 1996. In any event, first story was about Edwin Edwards, and I don't remember what it was. The second story was from the New York Times, and I do remember what it was because it was so stupid. And it was about these idiots that had gotten a grant and were studying these things called magnetites. I'll never forget this, how stupid the story was.